Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
One of the great things about life is its diversity. And one place that seems to foster and nurture diversity is New Mexico. That's where we're headed, outside of the legendary art capital of the Southwest, inside of some of the most ancient cultures of long ago, which still carry on in their ancestral homes. When we return, we head east out of Santa Fe to Roe, New Mexico, where a lifelong birder turned artist paints the kings and queens of the wind, the raptors of the high desert. When we return, with your voice of the earth, here on the Wild Side News. Almost anyone who ever visits the Santa Fe area of New Mexico is awakened to the power of the land and the power the land has on its people. Today, we visit with a painter of birds in the land he loves.
We live in a most amazing planet. It's as everyone knows, my belief is that this is an expression of something close to divine. It's truly a miracle. And there are many people who experience this in a lot of different ways. And joining us now is someone who lives it and breathes it day and night. This is Rourke Griffin, who is from Roe, New Mexico, which is outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Rourke, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Well, thank you, Sid. Nice hearing from you.
You bet. Now, hey, first of all, let's find out what things feel like in Roe today.
Well, actually, the weather today is somewhat cool. We had a little cool front drop in, and the temperature is about 10 degrees cooler than it has been. So 10 degrees right now cooler, we're talking about maybe 78 degrees, maybe 80 by the time the day's done. But the clouds are moving in. We might get a little start of our monsoon that everybody's anticipating, hopefully.
Well, that's a beautiful country. If anybody hasn't been to Roe, I highly encourage them to do so. And then you'd be able to see actually what inspires Rourke, because Rourke is a painter. He's an artist and a painter. He's also a musician. He works with his hands, but he also works a lot with his spirit and his soul. And that's kind of what I'd like to talk about, Rourke, because I know that you have a real dedication and a real connection with animals and the land, yeah, and things like that. I'd like to really find out how it is that this love affair with nature began.
Well, I was young. I was living in the valley of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I became involved with falconry, and I started collecting books on the sport and started appreciating birds of prey, and of course started raising some young kestrel, which is a sparrowhawk, and started flying that bird around my yard and experiencing a kinship with the wild species of a raptor, and from there, I all these years I've always had a soul connection to birds of prey. Of course, now I'm not active in falconry. I represent birds of prey in my art as I paint, in hopes of the more educational value of their beauty and their abilities through my art and the country in which they live.
I'm just curious, what was it about the birds that caught you so directly?
Just something about just their majesty, this their strength. This, you know, there's nothing that feeds on a bird of prey. They're at the top of the pyramid. They're highly skilled predators, and there's nothing like the view of a bird of prey in pursuit of its prey. And the elegance in their flight, and the sheer strength and endurance in their pursuit of that prey. And to me, that just lifts my heart to be able to witness that, and to see a Paraguayan falcon drop out of the sky and almost 200 miles an hour and pluck a duck out of the air is just incredible.
Now, so you've been spending actually your whole life watching birds of prey, and working with them and living with them. And I also believe that at times you've had a few that you've had the opportunity to get to know. On a kind of a personal level, when you get to know a bird like that, what's the connection? What's the communication like?
Well, when I was active in falconry, of course, I consider myself an ornithologist. I love bird watching of all kinds of birds now, well, when I was active with the Raptors, there was the kinship between a bird kept by a falconer and its relationship of hunting in the wild with it is something that it's quite a sport, and it's quite a historical event that goes back a couple of thousand years. And it's just being a part of that and being able to look in that bird's eyes and feel the wildness and the beauty of it and watching it and taking care of it and making sure it doesn't get sick and caring for it and exercising it properly and having it on a proper diet, all of this is significant in its well-being, and to be fully involved with that is just a total thrill.
But you're also very much an artist. As a matter of fact, your work is displayed in the Kiva Gallery in Santa Fe on a regular basis, and word has it that you're kind of becoming a hot artist in that gallery. But let's go back, and I'm just curious, how did the art side of your relationship with the birds begin?
Well, ever since I was a child, my main interest was sketching and drawing. While other children were out riding bikes and whatever, I was more than content to sit on my living room floor and with a pad of paper and just do drawings, pages after pages, and trying to find what interests me and trying to find what I was able, what kind of a challenge I could have to draw. And there's nothing more incredible than to even try and draw a feather, and there's just something about it that is just, if it's properly done and it's very identifiable, it's a wonderful thing. And then incorporating the birds and their natural environment, and then get the love of the wildlife in nature and the vastness of this wonderful state that I live in. I mean, there's no place else you can just look and see for a couple of hundred miles, mountain ranges, and the air is so clean, and just the old combination of where I live and the abundance of the birds of prey and being able to find them was my main inspiration.
Now, so you started drawing. Did you draw with pencil or pen or what?
I started off with pencils, and the more detailed I became with my pencil, the more I began to realize, well, I can get graphite, or I can get a fine tip drawing pen, and I could do some rapidograph work and really detail my pieces out. And it wasn't until high school that I really began to experiment with color and brushes and such.
Now, also, for people who are interested, I have some images of some of Rourke's work on the website, so you can see it there, but you can also visit the gallery, which is
KivaIndianArt.com.
They're in Santa Fe. And how long have they been working with you?
They've represented my work now for 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous.
And I've been showing exclusively through the Kiva Gallery, and things have just been getting better each year. I mean, some pretty prominent collectors are starting to pop up now and look at my work.
One of the things that I think it distinguishes your work from a lot of other bird painters, at least in my experience of your work, is the fact that you really do portraits of these animals. They stand tall and strong, look at you, and then they're backdropped by their native landscape. What inspires you to do it that way?
Well, I growing up looking at Audubon's ability to paint and other representational bird artists, so to speak. Roger Torrey Peterson once quoted to me, he says, well, it's nice to see somebody that actually does raptors. And it's nice to do a study, I mean, to represent birds like Roger Torrey did or Audubon. To me, it seemed like I wanted to take it further. I wanted to actually show the type of trees that grew around them, the type of sandstone cliffs, the rock differences, the outcroppings that of the area that they lived, and so the incorporating of the birds of prey in their natural environment was something that, with huge amounts of distance, which you see out in this area, was not being done. And so I just took advantage of that. And usually what I do is I pinpoint a fine landscape and actually almost completely finished landscape. Then I incorporate the bird and move it around on the canvas, maybe do a cutout until I find the right composition, and then paint it onto the landscape so it blends right in with it.
Give us an idea of some of the types of birds that you've actually featured in your art.
Well, I've done all species. The raptors, I've done red-tailed hawks, I've done golden eagles, prairie falcons, peregrines, cooper hawks, just different species. And in one of my series, I'm hoping to start probably this winter, a series of birds of prey found in the Pecos Valley where I live. Hopefully that will be inspiring to have an exhibition of this type of work at the National Monument, which is close to my home, and maybe have a showing there of wildlife birds of prey that people can actually see in the area. Wait until this train goes by.
We'll just listen to the train. That's a great sound.
Right on time, between 2 and 2:30. The Amtrak from Chicago to California.
That's a great sound. Great sound.
Huh?
You live in a relative paradise. Just as an aside, by the way, you also live relatively close to the Pecos Monument, which historically was quite an amazing community there. Any thoughts about that? I know you know some of the history of that place, and it's a very powerful zone. Just as an aside.
Well, it was the Pecos National Monument became a national monument and was under the Preservation Act back in the 50s, and the people involved with that was the late Greer Garson, movie actress, and her husband Buddy Fogelson, who put the money up to build have it excavated and protected and reestablished as a national monument and a visitor center. The old Indian Pueblo that was there dates back to the 1400s, and then when the Spanish came in and built the churches and kind of ran the Indians' way of life and had them work for them and stuff, introducing Christianity and stuff. They built this huge mission, which during the revolt, Pueblo Revolt, was also burned and destroyed and rebuilt again on top of the old structure. So it has quite a history, and if anybody ever comes out here, they really must make plans to come by and see the Pecos National Monument. It's quite a historical place.
Yeah, it's a crossroads, really. It's an entree to the Great Plains, and lots of history there.
Yes, to pass through the Rocky Mountains into the Great Plains.
That's exactly right. But now, when you go about painting a bird, I'm just curious, how do you like to work? How do you study a bird to really understand how it fits?
Well, it depends. Like, if I have a species in mind, then I do, of course, in my mind, I kind of put the composition together. Sit down with an empty canvas and kind of sketch out in a burn umber fashion of illustration the idea that I have in mind. Sometimes my ideas come to me in a dream, and I'll get up the next day and in the studio and put down what I saw in my mind. And then I, depending on the bird, type of bird, like prairie falcon, it'd be real open country with deep canyons and vastness and plains and everything. And then with the cooper hawk, which is a raptor that survives in a forested area, needs to have a different composition, which is forest and trees and mountains and you know, meadows and stuff like that. So it depends on the species I paint, and it depending on what type of landscape needs to go behind it.
Now, do you ever expect that these paintings have their own magic, that is to say that when they're put in someone's home, perhaps they may send out that message of the importance of these creatures and this space and this planet to the people who have the good fortune of living with one of your works?
Well, I think so. I think hopefully that's, you know, it's something that when they walk in and see one of my pieces on the wall, it's something, you know, they feel like they're that close to that bird, and that bird is so accurately drawn that they can tell what it is. If they don't, they can look it up and say, oh, it's a prairie falcon or it's a red tail, and they can see the country it's in and have the appreciation. So to me, hopefully it's a preservational environmental statement that I'm doing with my art. And people will collect it because of that and enjoy the view that they see when they look at my painting.
One of the dynamics of your work is the fact that it is the bird, but it's also within the landscape, and your landscape paintings are getting a lot of attention these days as well. Let's talk about you and the land and how it is the land speaks to you.
The Southwest landscape to me is I haven't traveled extensively. I've been to Colorado and Arizona, and they all have their own sort of variety of landscape changes and formations and horizontal differences. But New Mexico, to me, you can go from one end of the state to the other, and you're in completely different terrain. And to me, that's just incredible. And the seasons here are full. We've got full four seasons. I mean, it's cold in the winter, and it's hot in the summer, and in between you got the moderate range, and it's just perfect. And that's why it's such a migratory route for the birds of prey to come through here, because of the, especially the Rio Grande River, which is a main route for waterfowl and such. And of course, the predators follow the source of food. But the land itself is just, it speaks for itself. I mean, there's no place else you can stand on the hillside and look 100 miles and see a mountain range and have the ability to even go there within a day and explore that part of the state. And it's just, and at night with the stars, I mean, there's no cloudiness, there's no pollution. You can, in my backyard, I can look up and the Milky Way is so bright you can almost touch it. And to me, there's no place else for me to live as an artist, for sure. And the furthest I've been away from home is Connecticut. I drove out to a wildlife show for the Nature Conservancy out there back in 1992. And that's the first time I've really been further east than Texas in my life. And we drove to Connecticut, my daughter and I. And to this day, I can still remember, I didn't see the blue sky or feel very well at all until I got back into the state of New Mexico on the way back and saw the blue sky again.
It is amazing for people who spend any time in New Mexico. That blue sky is legendary. It does affect one's soul, I think. You know, mm-hmm. You're lucky in a sense that because you live in entranced by your art and surrounded by the natural beauty there, and that's really very much what your life is involved with. But then there's other things happening on the planet out here that I'm sure you hear about once in a while. Some of the things that are happening in the oceans and to our forests, mm-hmm. How do you bridge that? You know, how do you, when you think about the life that you represent and that you paint and express in your art, and then what's happening out there? What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are, environmentally speaking, I'm very concerned about what's going on with the planet. I think everybody needs to have the awareness, or at least acknowledge the awareness of its importance, and you know, keeping our oceans clean and keeping our countryside open and publicly available for its beauty. I really can't comment too much on oceans and things because I've never really spent that much time around large bodies of water. Any place in this country or anywhere else, I think people need to be aware of how they walk, how they travel, how they handle the earth that they walk upon, and what they do for, and how they can help to protect it and nourish it and feel responsible for it.
I don't want to get too political, but they're suggesting relaxing a lot of the endangered species laws. That could literally lead, if it weren't for the endangered species legislation, possibly a lot of your raptors may not be around. What would the loss be to the world if these birds and other creatures weren't here, your perspective?
It would just be a chain reaction. I mean, if these things are lost, then the things that they feed upon are going to overpopulate themselves, or there's going to be one reaction after the other. I mean, every time a species is lost, it causes a backlash of trauma through life. And if there's any way we can preserve and protect and make sure these things do not vanish from the earth, the better off we're going to be.
You know, I said this was going to be a relatively short interview, and I happen to know that, as a matter of fact, this Saturday, Rourke's going to get married.
Going to get married.
Yeah, that's great. What's the plan there?
Well, we've been planning it out for a while. There's going to be a lot of people here, and we're in the backyard right now digging an outhouse because I, you know, I mean, it's something we can use afterwards, too, so I might as well just get a nice big one done for the convenience of the guests that are going to be around. And we're going to have just quite a hoedown here. We're going to have to build a stage. We're going to have... I'm a musician also, and play country songs and tunes and dance and just have a good time. And hopefully afterwards we're going to try and come out and see you, Sid.
That would be fabulous. I want to wish you a great joy in your life as you move on as a married man again. And also I want to invite people to visit your gallery. Why don't you talk about the gallery, where it is?
The gallery is located on the intersection of Water and Shelby Street. And it's a well-established gallery. Paula McDonald, the owner, is the finest representative I've ever known for anything, anybody's art of any kind. I feel very fortunate that I'm represented with a group of fine artists. The majority are Native American, and with the likes of David John and Yellow Man and Ben Nelson, and you can see their fantastic works of art also on the net site. And Paula McDonald is just a wonderful person. The gallery is well established, and we get a lot of people through there, and I just feel so grateful to be a part of it.
One last thing, too. You work on a variety of sizes, and I think a size is interesting, and you're kind of working into some bigger size. You go from very small to very big. Let's give us a sense of what size people might be looking at if they were to see some of your work.
Well, I hardly do anything smaller than 5x7, and I that's on board. Anything small like that I do on gesso board.
5x7 inches.
Yeah, that's about the smallest I do now. And I make my own frames, and the larger pieces go all the way up to, I've got a couple of 36x60s I'm working on right now. And I have some 7-foot stretcher bars, which I'm planning to put together as soon as I build me a larger studio. So I'm getting kind of pressed for size here because I do want to do larger pieces, 4x5s and 5x8s and whatever. I'm going to get some calls for that. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I want to wish Rourke Griffin, artist, a musician, and great soul, great success in your art and as well in your new life with your new bride.
Thanks, Sid. Keep in touch, and we'll see you soon.
The earth gives it all away, and it is a gift of beauty, peace, and wonder. Somehow, we must keep the dream alive that a time will return when people and their land and the wild, wonderful creatures are able to all take a deep, deep breath and find balance along the path. It's always a joy to walk and talk with you. This is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios until we meet again each Thursday, or anytime on the archives, when the voice of the earth speaks again here on the Wild Side News.